episode of the Hooligans Pitch. As always, it is Michael and Chad, and today we bring you a very special episode, number 100.
We made it.
After 192 hours of recording, This is now a pretty big milestone for us. 3 years, three complete seasons of EPL, one World Cup, one Euros, one Women's World Cup. I think I'm pretty much there with all my tournaments that we've covered. Of course, the three Champions Leagues, one still to go. It feels like it kind of flew by, but here we are.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's, I don't know. It's just fun to do this. It's a good way to stay connected to you too. Like, it's a nice meetup, and honestly, I don't have a lot of people in my immediate life that want to chat footy with me like this. So
yeah,
it works out. Flew by. Here we are, 100 episodes.
100, and I will say, out of those 100 episodes, I think we've only had no more than, counting on one hand, episodes where we felt like we've struggled to get through. And that's just based on like content or what matches look like throughout the week. Everything else has kind of just flowed. We've never been ones to, I guess, struggle to talk about this stuff just because we see it daily. We like to keep up with it. It's interesting. It's essentially our soapbox drama that we get to pay attention to. It's been nothing, you know, short of dramatic, at least in the last 3 years, considering at least what our teams have gone through, and the, I guess, the turnover, the change in managers, the expectations, and then City still there. Unfortunately, it's been fascinating. So with that said, I'm going to pop my beer here. Something new, haven't had it. I should say I had it this week, but not on the pod. Sun River Gold, very tasty, hazy. I like the can. It's kind of like fiery and sunsetty. So
nice.
So yeah.
I'm celebrating. It's 100 episodes.
Wait, what are you doing?
This wasn't exactly planned, but we had just a little tiny champagne bottle in the fridge. So I figured if there was any moment to do it, I mean, I was hoping I'd be like for like an Arsenal title or something, but you know. Do something else for that when that happens.
Well, hang on. Let me grab. I've only taken a sip out of this whiskey two times now. One was on New Year's. One was when Liverpool won the title. And then, of course, I feel like this is a good opportunity now. I'm probably going to do another one at the end of the week, let's be honest.
Yep.
And then, you know, it'll go in my mighty Liverpool glass here. I will not be filling it.
There you go.
But
oh, come on.
I'll just do it just a little bit. I'm not too thirsty, to be honest. I did have a delicious steak dinner tonight as a celebration of the week. So made a sourdough.
Hang on.
Oh, no. I'll pause it. You're kind of back. You're lagging a little bit.
Okay, yeah. You like froze for me, and then you like popped in and out, but it looks like you're back now.
I'll just start it off with us coming together here. So I don't have that much in here, as you can tell. Just a little sipper. Mm-hmm. But I'll just down it once you pop your champagne.
Yeah, we're getting there. Don't worry. A lot of foil on this bad boy.
Well, I guess I can get us talking a little bit here. Not much news, not much has changed as far as Premier League went when we last spoke on Thursday afternoon. We were expecting a pretty, I don't want to say a straightforward weekend, but we made some predictions, and we made some, we called some teams out saying, if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to make for a fascinating finish, and every team pulled through. Every team did exactly what we wanted as an entertainment, value. Arsenal almost lost that game. Let's be real. Liverpool was not playing their hardest, and Arsenal almost threw that game away. Lucky to get away with a point. We were desperately hoping City would find a way to drop points against Southampton, and we never thought that day would come. Yet here we are. City dropping points and getting mad at Southampton for playing the way they did.
And hey, all cheers to that.
Yeah, there we go right there. Is that your pop? Did it make a popping?
It's the little guy's just twist.
Oh, it was a twisty. All right, well, all right, officially cheers. Yeah. Nice.
Ooh. Nice. Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
Not bad. Okay.
Yeah.
And I go down the line here again, just kind of spitballing here. Newcastle beat Chelsea. I think we both kind of saw that coming. And then I think what we got to maybe just talk about first is Forrest getting the draw here against Leicester. Oof. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's probably my biggest surprise of the weekend. Like,
yep. Well, even Southampton, I mean, like both regulated teams taking down top. I mean, they're both neck and neck for me.
Yeah. I mean, Southampton was surprising, but if I had to imagine either of those teams do something, it would be a 0-0 game. True. And okay. Not a game where you got two goals and, you know, stayed in the game and you know, maybe could have won it. But, yeah, Forrest really dropping the ball here. They hit this bad patch of form at just the absolutely worst time. It's
not looking great.
No, I mean, you got
West Ham. West Ham's next, and West Ham this past weekend played Man U. You know, I don't think the win was as much as a surprise. It was more just the confidence that might have given West Ham to end the season on a higher note rather than a lower note. They officially passed Man U in the table now. it's 16th and 17th Jesus. Place. Those two teams, Tottenham and Man U, will be playing for a European final, which we spoke about last week. And it just seems to keep looking worse and worse, this final, as each day goes on. I know we're kind of like we're pivoting here off of Forest really quick, and this could be a quick sidebar. We talked about, you know, whoever wins Europa gets to go into Champions League. I thought about this. I had like some – it was kind of just when I was just in a – I don't know. Driving around just thinking about things, I was like, you know what, I think you need to finish top 10 in your domestic league in order to make Champions League if you're going to win Europa. I don't think you can be where you are right now with both these teams and get to go to champ. Like, I'm not saying you didn't like make a good tournament run, but you didn't do well this season, and it's too big of a reward for you.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, because like, you know, by name alone, this should be the best teams of the top European leagues, right? So if you're finding your way in there, then like you need at least be in that conversation somewhat. And I know, you know, Premier League table this year, what, it's top five teams, because Newcastle won their I don't know, someone won whatever competition that puts them in there. So I mean, it at the very least, yeah, if you're not top five, then okay, yeah, I think you could stretch it to 10th. And because then, yeah, you know, you had your successful Europa League run and win that final, and sure, you get the reward and chance to prove yourself on a bigger stage, but like, if I'm UEFA and like you're looking at these two teams, I think you got lucky that it's United, just because they probably still sell a lot of shirts and you know, have a lot of fans from over the years that will tune in and show up and you know, make it worthwhile. But like, if this was a Europa League final between like Tottenham and, I don't know, like a Fulham or something, like, who's watching that? And I'm sorry to do that to Fulham, but like, it just, the only thing propping up this final beyond it being a final, I think, is probably the name recognition of Man U.
Yeah, and I, you know, Tottenham's a big enough name where people know it. It's
yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, like United's kind of had that those big names over the years. Like, I mean, Tottenham's had Kane and Bale and all that and Son right now, but didn't have the levels of like Ronaldo or like heights that Rooney reached, or you know, even Sir Alex Ferguson, like these big names attached that bolstered their fan base over the years, and you know, you get kind of bought in as a young lad, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I'll have it on in the background, but I don't think I'm gonna set aside any real time to like actually watch it.
Well, I mean, we're including those two teams in our Champions League fantasy.
Like, are you taking anyone?
No. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. There's no way. I don't even know who's going to start for these teams. Like, they're not playing.
If I'm taking anyone, it's probably Bruno.
I guess. I mean, yeah. He might do okay.
Yeah. He's the one I can put the most like faith in to do something.
I mean, both teams lost on the weekend, 2-0. Palace showed up. They were ready to play. Mean,
to be fair, they both played pretty heavily rotated squads.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get. You don't want any, you know, unforeseen injuries or anything leading up to this. But, like, I do think you need to try and build some momentum going into this.
I mean... Man U has Chelsea and Aston Villa to go in the EPL, and both those teams are fighting for something. So we're just gonna chalk. Yeah. We're just gonna chalk United up to two more losses to end the Premier League. They do have the Europa in the middle. So will they show up? Their best bet right now is to show up against Chelsea and like at least get some form and get ready to go against Tottenham. But Tottenham's, they're in the same boat, man. They got Aston Villa and then Brighton. So like, Aston Villa's playing for something. Those two games that these two teams have to go against are not going to be easy games for them to come in and like look good. Right.
No.
They should have done it this weekend against Palace and West Ham, especially the West Ham game. Palace, you know, they've been kind of up and down, but West Ham has mostly been down.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, too, is, like, Palace is kind of in that same boat because they're leading up to the FA Cup final. So, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're ready to go.
They're pretty much doing what Tottenham and United should be doing of, like, still trying to play these games when, you know, their table position is pretty much solidified. Either you're finishing 12th, maybe 11th, maybe you can sneak up to 10th. But, you know, I think you need to keep that energy and focus and just like that momentum of getting into good form, you know, especially for them. They got a big test of Man City in the FA Cup final. So it's like,
yeah,
I get it, different levels, but I would be worried right now if you're Tottenham or United and you're still trying to play it like rotated squad. You don't want anyone going out injured, you know, the weekend before Europa League final. But like, if you get thrashed 3-4 goals, that's gonna do something mentally to the squad and the fan base, right? Like, you want the fans to be there behind you and supporting, but like, I can see it from both sides of like, you know, we're not getting relegated, we're not playing for anything in the league, so yeah, like throw these games away basically and save everyone. But at the same time, it's like, it almost reminds me of the teams that'll pull in like a guy to just take the penalty kicks and he gets like one touch of the ball and then he misses his penalty kick, right?
Nunez.
It's just not enough time, right?
Been there.
So we'll see how it turns out, I guess. But
so who do you got? I know we talked about last week a little bit. Has your mind changed on who's going to win that game?
I can't really say. I mean, I still would rather United win over Tottenham, but that's purely the Arsenal bias in me. So
I think Tottenham might edge them out.
It'll be close.
Their track record in the last, what, 8 weeks isn't great. I mean, this is West Ham's first win since February. So, like, I mean, but Tottenham's not really any better here. Their last win in the EPL was in early April against Southampton. Prior to that, it was Ipswich in February. And then prior to that, it was beating Man U 1-0 in the middle of February. So they've done this before. A little different back in February. I remember that game. It was a James Maddison goal. And again, Man U was just playing terrible.
Yeah. But see, even then, like, I don't know if you watched the goals from this game. But Jared Bowen's goal really stood out to me as just like, the goal was fine, but the defending was just like absolutely horrible. And at that time, they had subbed in Maguire and Lindelof, who's like probably going to be their back line for the final, right? It was just a slow, no one moving defense, and the ball just gets like passed through all three defenders back there and finds its way to Bowen. And it's like, I think you're just, I guess, like, I see what they're trying to do. They don't want anyone injured. They don't want anyone out of the final. But, like, I think you got to keep guys in, like, game state, game ready, yep. And in the flow of things, right? Like, you can't give them kind of 2 weeks off, even if you give them 20, 30 minutes to play. You want them to be out there fighting for everything. Like, I don't know. I guess this maybe comes down to the coaching mentality, right? Of like, you got to almost make these two games you had to lead up to the final as like, not finals, but like, you got to, I think, take it somewhat serious.
Who scored is calling this game the Clash of the Trash? I kind of like that nickname.
It's pretty good, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it will be funny if Tottenham win and then still just sack Ainge, because I think they will do that.
He's gonna quit. He won't let them sack. He won't let them sack.
Oh, you think he quits?
Yeah.
You think he's lifting the trophy, like, I quit.
Yep. He's gonna like do it when he gets the mic, like, this is my last game, it's been a pleasure type thing, and
he just walks out with the trophy.
That's how you gotta do it. You can't let them beat you to it. And I bet Tottenham's gonna try to beat him to that mic.
they're gonna be waiting at the sideline for that final whistle and say, run over and get him, and
you're fired.
Don't even let him have a touch of the trophy.
Can a coach get fired before a match ends? That'd be a treat. Well, that'd be the Tottenham thing to do.
Not exactly the same, but circle back to Forest, and their owner came down and was yelling at Nuno. So,
dude, a great segue. Let's go back up to the top of the table here. That was weird.
Yeah. I think certainly not the time or place.
No. God, no. Not when every eye can see you and we can almost dissect what they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bizarre. I've never seen anything like that. Almost in all professional sports, football, the NFL tends to have a lot of owners down at the field at times. So I've seen owners talking to coaches, not in that manner, especially like after a loss. And I think they were in the middle of the pitch, or at least on the pitch.
On the pitch for sure.
And it's just funny, dude. Their owner's just in like a t-shirt and jeans type thing. Yeah. Just like, just looking as like a classic Greek man, just, who knows? I don't know what he was saying. It probably wasn't great. It was, it looked like a lot of, what the hell are you doing? Which is not a good thing to be saying to your coach as you wind down the season. Let's be real here. Forest has exceeded expectations for where they're supposed to be in the table.
Yeah. That was like the biggest comment I saw on this clip of like, everyone was just like, well, what were Forest's expectations for this season? It wasn't getting into Champions League, but you still could. And you know, you're right there, right? So you've certainly exceeded expectations.
I love flipping the calendar, okay? Mm-hmm. where we look at, say, the first six games for them. And in the EPL, a lot of wins, a couple losses, but a lot of wins. But in the last six, a lot of losses, a lot of draws, right? Yeah. It shows the hot start they were on and then just kind of plateaued. And luckily, they're not like dropping in the table exponentially because everyone else has been kind of like trash lately too. They're lucky.
Yeah.
They're lucky everyone in the top five outside of Liverpool and Arsenal's close. They're on that border right now personally of like almost bottling at least the number two spot. How many draws in the last six for you guys? One, two, two draws, a loss, and then luckily getting that win against Ipswich to kind of, you know, balance things out. But a lot of draws for Arsenal lately, and if they weren't drawing those games, I think you guys would be risking Champions League spot right now. You've had at least three or four. I mean, that you're right in the 63-point mark.
You're coming back.
I snapped to like help me cut the. Is this your router update? What's going on?
I don't know. It should be fine.
I don't know. That's a crazy. Okay. So yeah, Arsenal could. I mean, you change those wins off the draws. They're fighting for that title spot to this day, probably, which is crazy. Yeah. But if you change those draws to losses, they're outside of top five, obviously. But the fact is, guys have 14 draws, second most in the Premier League, and are still holding second. Crazy. That kind of shows where everyone else is at this rate too.
That's fair.
So yeah, I don't know. I think Forest needs to check themselves a little bit. But also, I get the frustration, man. You were in third all year long.
Yeah, I understand the frustration, and you know, it's a little bit like what I said when Arsenal was making their way through the Champions League stages. Like, that was never really a thought of something I looked for in this season, and then all of a sudden that was like the focus. So like, I get that your focus can shift throughout the season as it progresses, and you know, doors open or look like they might be open. But I think the owner, I don't know if he'll take any real accountability or blame, but, you know, should take a step back and just kind of see, you know, where this team was the past few years and where they're at now, even if they, you know, lose against West Ham. And then final day is Chelsea, lose against Chelsea. You end in poor form. That sucks. But, you know, you're probably still hanging on to seventh, right? Like, I think, a great return for Forest still. It's not the dream we all had for Forest this season. And, you know, yeah, you can get on them about being up in third for so long and then dropping off. But, like, that can just come down to the quality of the squad and not having good rotation options, right? Like, if this team didn't have Chris Wood popping off this season, I don't think they're anywhere near up here. So,
right.
You kind of take it as it comes. You have the summer to rebuild and you know, sign whoever, let whoever go. I think just, you know, I don't think you got to get too mad at Nuno yet and, you know, burn that bridge yet. Like, is he the guy to take you into Europe? I don't know, but he made a pretty good effort this year and almost nearly did and still could. So
I think Forest still has a pretty good shot here, right? Yeah. You beat West Ham. You're pretty much still right there. Who knows what will happen with the four above you. And then you got Chelsea on the last week. That's the game that you have to win.
And you're at home for that. No way Chelsea's showing up for that. So,
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Chelsea goes against Man United this weekend. if Man United can pull off something against Chelsea, Chelsea is screwed to make Champions League. I think regardless of the result that will happen against Forest, albeit a draw or a win for Forest, I think Forest could maybe get away with a draw if they win this weekend, because that would take Forest up to 65 points and keep Chelsea at 64. And then I guess they would have to win because Chelsea has the goal differential. So,
yeah.
So, okay. So Forest has to essentially win out. Chelsea can lose. No, they have to draw. They have to draw against Man U at least. And then draw against Forest. 64, 65. Yeah, wow. This is crazy. There's going to be so many of these scenarios going down the list. And then you got City at 65. If they lose against Palace and Bournemouth, they stay at 65. So then Forest could tie them. It's goal differential all the way down, right? There's no matchups.
Pretty much, yeah.
Dang. Well, that's where Forest is going to hurt the most.
Yeah, that'll be rough if it comes down to that.
But Villa's goal differential isn't great, so...
Yeah, true.
But it's crazy because they're the hottest team, I think, going into this break. Or not break, just the weekend.
Yeah.
With arguably the easiest... the easiest opponents in the Europa finalists. Jeez. Of Tottenham and Man U. This is great. This is a great way to end the season.
I mean, yeah, it's it feels more like I know that Forest not beating Leicester seems crazy, but it almost feels like it would be worse if Chelsea or Villa don't beat one of United or Tottenham next week, because they're not gonna put their full strength team out there as we saw. You know,
it's a gimme. It's a gimme if they don't win these games.
Yeah.
I hope Villa isn't just like hyper focused on the fact of who they're playing.
Yeah.
Because out of, I think, the Newcastle, City, Chelsea, Villa, Forest, I think Villa has the easiest way into this thing. Two wins brings you to 69 points. I think that gets you there. And you're playing the bottom five teams 2 weeks in a row. And those teams are saving what they got for Europa because they want to make Champions League.
Yeah.
It's they have the dream set up right now to end the season, which is crazy. Because if you would have saw this, last September, yeah, you would have said, wow, Villa's going to have a tough way to end the season.
Yeah, right.
It's funny.
I mean, yeah, it would be nice to have, you know, a fight for the title still going on. I'm glad there's at least plenty of drama still available to happen and keep these last few weeks entertaining. Yeah. And like,
you're not out of this either.
we are, but we aren't, right? Like,
you should be
we
safe.
Could lose everything and goal differential saves us.
68 points. Okay, well, just hypothetically, all the teams beneath you win every game, and you lose.
We got...
You don't make it.
No, hang on.
You don't, Chad. You're at 68 points. Castle wins 69 points. City wins 68, and then go... their next win 72. Chelsea goes to 69.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah, you're right. That was it. We just needed 1 point, and then it doesn't matter. Yeah. So, yeah, not there yet. but I think if it's not Newcastle, you got to get done against Southampton. And if you can't, you didn't deserve Champions League. So, you know, it's. Of course not the greatest position to be in still, but I'm confident we can at least get 1 point from two games.
Do you think so Newcastle is kind of close to that scenario too? It's they're not gonna do a gentleman's agreement and like play for the draw. I think they want the win to secure it too, because then they'll get to 69 yeah. points and be satisfied. You guys have a fascinating weekend.
Yeah.
That was the least confident yeah I've heard from you all season, I think.
Well, you know, it's just, it's already been such a cursed season, and then Mourinho went and got a red card, so it's like, now there's really no striker option.
Wow.
Which should be okay. I mean, you can still play one of Trossard or Martinelli up top, and then, you know, Declan and Partey and Odegaard in the mid, so like, that team can still function. Just unfortunately, you know, Newcastle, yeah, I don't think they're going to come in with any sort of idea of like, let's just split a draw here, you know? So yeah, not the greatest setup for, you know, grabbing one point. I don't want it to have to come down to the final day, but you know, look, you know, Odegaard was taking shots again, so that's a plus. Saka looks good. He's coming back to full fitness. He's looking okay. Martinelli scored. You know, these people that have been a little bit quiet are popping back up now. So hopefully they can just ride that into the Newcastle game and just at least get a point there. And then we cruise. We finish where we finish, but we're in Champions League.
If Southampton didn't just draw City and Ramsdale didn't come out and say, we still have something to prove, you know, he's just been circling that Arsenal game. Like, just like, oh, he's just sitting there right now circling it. You know, he's going to ball out or at least really attempt to. The draw gets you there. That's the good news. And they can't, and Southampton can't score. So, like, I think that's where you are going to luck out. But the fact that Southampton drew City, like, that just doesn't, like, that doesn't look great just in terms of who they have next. And they're probably going to throw against Everton and save everything for Arsenal, for Ramsdale, honestly.
Yeah, maybe. Or we'll see how deep Ramsdale's Arsenal ties lie. If we need a draw, we need a win. Miss a save or two.
Aaron, please. Okay.
Remember the good times.
Hypothetical, crazy hypothetical, just because we were trying to just spit some crazy things out. If Arsenal don't make Champions League and drop out of top six, does Arteta go?
I don't think so.
Do you want him to? Is that a you answer or is that a fan base?
It's a me and where I think the club will be. The fan base, I think it'll certainly increase the Arteta out voices. But I think, you know, you can still look at this season as such a tough one because of, you know, all these injuries and the red cards and not signing anyone in the winter window, and look at all that and still see, okay, well, you know, you got through Champions League to the semis, and you know, you were second and you couldn't get over the line, but you know, it's not where you want to be, but I think it's still enough that you were, you know, I'd say mostly competing for the title for a large portion of the season. Like, it certainly got away from Arsenal at a certain point, but you know, that the team is kind of performing where you want it to perform against the titles, right? If it just kind of doesn't end, the season doesn't end well and you fall into Europa, then I think you take it. I think Arteta will just, he'll knock some heads together and cause some real pain in that dressing room. But no, I don't think the club would step away from him yet for that.
That's fair. I mean, who's replacing him, right? Pretty limited options at this point.
Because, I mean, that like there is that Arteta out portion of the fan base. But really, it's just that, you know, you got to kind of remember where Arsenal was, right? Like, even when Wenger's final years, like, there was no real progress in the club. It was, you're in top four, you make Champions League, you go out in the round of 16, or if you're lucky, you get through the quarters and go out to Bayern, right? Like, that was just kind of the cycle. And then, you know, his time comes to an end, which, you know, maybe went on a couple years longer than it should have, but I get it. We all like the players or coaches that stick with a club and you know, have given so much and want to continue to, but even coming out of there, it was the banter era, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you had your Mustafis in the back and David Luiz, and like there were some great moments in there. You know, you had Aubameyang, you had Lacazette, you had that partnership. You saw Saka like grow into mm-hmm. this player that he is now. But I would still say, you know, fan base and even like media perception was just like not serious, right? It was a hopeful club, but without any real ambition, I think. And from the time that Arteta came in, like it's been a steady progression of like getting more of the fan base behind him and the club and like showing that progression season over season. And like, I get it. We all want the titles like right now. And, you know, I've seen the graphic of over the past three seasons or 245 points or whatever, and no titles, but like, that's just kind of circumstance, right? Like we've had good Liverpool sides and good City sides and
The best of all time. Like the best Premier League teams of all time. It was crazy what we just went through the last 6 years.
Exactly. And you know, so that being the case, it's at a point where, you know, you almost for a few seasons there, you couldn't lose a game. Right.
Yep.
And that's already unheard of. Like, so, you know, it's, I think you kind of the same as I've said before, like you got to step back, look at the whole big picture here. Even if this city crashes and burns and we end up in Europa League, that's it. You know, if anything, it's, let's just put all our, you know, energy into the league, obviously, but then like just knock out Europa League then. That's still a European title. It's not nearly as prestigious as the Champions League. But hey, you know, it's something.
Doesn't help that the bottom feeders are in the final this year.
No, yeah, I mean,
that's ideally just an anomaly. More exciting
final, but you know, it's I'm still happy with Arteta. Of course, I have criticisms of some of the stuff he does or doesn't do, but you know, to want him gone, and yeah, who do you bring in that is gonna? I feel like Arsenal's a little bit of a club where it like needs a manager like a Wenger or an Arteta that's like really kind of bought into the club and like can kind of see it forward, like almost like a Klopp sort of vibe, where it's, you're not just like a Ancelotti, like yeah, you'll come in and win, but like it's just a job to you, where like the other three, it feels like they were really like, no, I'm in this club. Mm-hmm. You know, I live and breathe it, and
yeah, you're gone.
Chad? I feel like our
hang on, wait, hang on. Oh, yeah, you broke. You're gone.
I don't want to say it's a new router, but
okay, you're kind of there. Maybe. Yeah, you're there. The last thing that you said before you went glitchy, you said you just wanted to have someone buy in, and then I can kind of just riff off of that. So basically, like, you kind of, if you had an option of getting like a homegrown player, and I say I'm just picking one, Van Persie, I think he's been coaching lately. If he were to say, hey, I didn't win a chip with you guys, I'm down to come back. That is that the type of like manager you'd like to see if it was going to be replacing Arteta, at least someone who's familiar with the club, or is it got to be a little better than that?
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily has to be like that connection, but just a manager that will kind of put themselves like in the club and like kind of in the trenches with the players, right? Where it's like, you know, Klopp didn't have any ties to Liverpool, but he came in there and kind of did that, right? Like you could see the emotions on his face at any given moment. Like,
right away.
He was feeling everything. So I think it's that kind of manager Arsenal needs too, where it's just,
you're gone again.
I guess.
You're gone again.
No!
Chad.
Hang on.
You're back now. All right, well.
Hang on.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah, you're there. Hi.
Okay. Hey.
I'll edit this part out, obviously, but maybe let's go for like just a couple. I don't have much more to say.
Yeah, me either, really. I'm just kind of going.
Yeah, I mean, we could, honestly, we could probably go on for a long time, but I think we hit most of it. So I don't even know what you were last saying. It was going bonkers.
What was I saying?
You didn't need a homegrown player. You just want someone who's going to be like ingraining or putting roots into the club, which I guess I can just riff off that. You want someone to be ingrained with the club, but right now I feel like there's only a handful of managers out there who will be like that.
Yeah.
So it's a tough ask. So it's like, yeah, why get rid of Arteta if no one can be that type of replacement, you know?
Yeah. It's just, I'd rather suffer through whatever comes with Arteta's reign right now.
Right.
Than just have like a kind of textbook, like by the books manager that just, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, an Ancelotti, a Conte, someone like that could come here and win, because that's just kind of what they do. But like, it just feels like it's a job to them, and not like they don't have like the passion for the club and the players and the team, really.
Titles or passion?
Yeah, you know, it's
it's a tough. I mean, hey, the titles can come, right?
Yeah,
and they feel a lot better when you have someone who's building up to that. You know, the Chelsea Conte titles, they feel like kind of like meh, like honestly, but it's like the Klopp title in 2020. And then the slot title, like, dude, that means a lot, especially this first slot one. It was like, it's hopefully like the start of a dynasty at this point. Like, who knows what these next couple years will look like, but Liverpool is set up for the most success. While Salah is still there, I believe, in the Premier League, post-Salah, who knows, man? Who knows? That's where the real slot test is going to come in. We're still riding this Klopp wave, and we'll do it until we can't. So it'll be interesting. But just looking at Arsenal's Premier League injuries right now, you guys don't have Rice or Trossard probably going into the weekend.
Yeah, I read that Rice was kind of doubtful, maybe a hamstring thing, which wouldn't surprise me. That guy's been running his socks off all season. I think he would be a bigger miss than Trossard. But we'll see. See what happens. Like, it's already been such a cursed season. Why not just go all the way on it?
Go all in. Well, unfortunately, I won't get to watch very many games on the weekend. I will get to watch the Monday match between Liverpool and Brighton, which, you know, will mean a whole lot. So I'm going to need you to be my my ears and my eyes. Especially on... Oh, there's no Saturday games? Am I reading
it's
that
FA Cup final on
Saturday. Okay. Just the one game then on Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay. I might be able to catch some on Sunday. What's the most important game of the weekend, you think? Well, definitely Arsenal and Newcastle.
I mean, yeah, beyond that, I think Forest, you know, they obviously need a win, like we said. City and Bournemouth on Tuesday, I feel like has potential for Bournemouth to show up and cause some issue. So
that'd be fun.
But yeah, look, I think we can all just agree. Palace, get this shit done in the FA Cup final. Get your trophy. Get your 12th place trophy. And have a great season, you know?
Do it for Mateta.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end it right there.
Yeah.
Episode 100. We did it. Century mark. On to 101.
Yep. Keep going.
Oh, man. Let's never stop. All right, Chad. It's been a pleasure. I'll check back with you. Gosh, maybe next week, post Wednesday, around there. We'll see how the week shapes up. All right. Until then, the Hooligans pitch. We're out. Peace.